Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. Hear now the word of the Lord. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. This is the word of the Lord. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, a season that isn't Christmas, but is a season of waiting and preparing for Christmas. We light candles to remind ourselves of the time when Jesus, the light of the world, put on flesh and came to earth. We gather our prayers together like soft straw for the manger, and we remember why we need a Savior to come and to return. The world waited many, many long years for the first Christmas. We can wait a few more weeks. Today we also start a new worship series for the season called Those Who Dream. This morning's theme is Those Who Dream, Keep Awake, which might seem like a little bit of a mixed metaphor at best, maybe even a contradiction of itself, but this season of dreaming isn't about the strange scenes and images that our brains put together while we're sleeping. No, this season of dreaming is about the future that we want to create, the relationship with God and the world that we want to have, the possibilities for tomorrow. And so we begin our time together by lighting candles of hope and naming our dreams, because the dreams that we hold in our hearts are our prayers. When I think of hope as a theme of Advent, I often remember a verse of the carol O Little Town of Bethlehem, which in my head is always sung by Frank Sinatra, because I love the line, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." We hope for the chance for our dreams to come true, and for our prayers to be answered, and for the chance to cradle the Christ child. But we also know, on some level, that for our dreams to come true, some things might have to change, and that can induce some fear alongside the hope. In Advent, we can dream big, because after all, we believe that the coming of Christ will change everything. We can name the broken systems and the personal losses and the global tragedies and the daily heartaches, and as we lament, we can dream alongside God, dream of a better world. The readings for Christmas are full of joy, but the readings for Advent are full of longing and sometimes of lament. We want that joy. But sometimes it feels just out of reach. Debbie Thomas wrote this week in her blog on Journeys with Jesus that our world is not okay, is what these Advent readings declare in stark, unflinching terms. God's apparent absence is not fine. It hurts. It hurts so much we can barely breathe from the agony of it. We are surrounded by evil and suffering. We're not sure our faith can endure what our eyes reluctantly witness each day. And though we long for a Savior to rend the heavens and come down, the very ferocity of that longing is wearying our souls. Hope itself has become a grind. The first gift of Advent is the permission to tell the truth, even if that truth is laced with sorrow. We are invited to describe life on earth as it is, and not as we mistakenly assume our religion requires us to render it. Into our surrounding cultures of denial and spin, apathy and hedonism, we are called to speak the whole truth. We need God. We need God to show up. We need God to stay. The second gift of the season is less a gift than a discipline. It is the discipline of waiting. During Advent, we live with quiet anticipation in the not yet. We stop rushing and decide to call sacred what is yet in process and unformed. This is no easy task in today's world, which applauds arrivals, finish lines, shortcuts, and end products far more than it does the meandering journey or odd way station. If the secular world speeds past darkness to the safe certainty of light, then Advent reminds us that necessary things, things worth waiting for, happen in the soft, fertile dark. Next spring's seeds break open in dark winter soil. God's Spirit hovers over dark water, preparing to create worlds. The child we yearn for grows in the deep darkness of the tomb, Debbie writes. Those who dream do not fall asleep to the realities of the world. God prompts us to pay attention to where God's dreams for change and new life are emerging. In Advent, we remember that God's ultimate dream is to be intimately connected to us, to come down and dwell among us. As we keep awake, we join Isaiah and the psalmist in pleading for restoration and for God to draw near. So keep awake. Keep going. Don't give up. Hope fiercely. God dreams your dreams with you. God is big. Big enough for all of your prayers, all of your dreams, your hopes, and your fears alike. This week, we begin the Advent season in the midst of a third wave of COVID-19 infections across the country, with 265,000 deaths, including 9,500 in Michigan. This season of our lives together has been a difficult one. And while there is some light at the end of the tunnel with multiple vaccines on the way, we're not there yet. This is a season of waiting. Advent is a season of waiting. Even when we want Jesus to hurry up and be born already, because we need to prepare ourselves for the incarnation first. This winter will also be a season of waiting, because we all desperately want to be able to see each other again and sing and go to dances and go to school and get out of the isolation that is breaking our hearts every single day. That day will come, but not tomorrow. Please don't give in to the despair that hope will never come. On this first Sunday of Advent, we light candles of hope because God is always with us and because we know that Christ will come again and transform the world. We are a people of hope. We hope for a better future, and that is exactly why we wear masks and continue to worship at home, because we know it makes a difference, even if it's small, even if it's hard. We are not giving up. We are hoping. We are preparing the way for the Lord, and we are doing everything we can to keep people out of hospitals so that the medical community can focus as much as they can on the logistics of deploying a vaccine when it's ready. Change is hard, and loneliness is hard. Praying into a camera and sharing fellowship over Zoom aren't the same. And there are days when I want to throw my microphone away. But we haven't given up. We're still finding ways to connect because we refuse to give up. That is what hope looks like. Even when it's resigned, even when it's annoyed, even when it's frustrated that a stupid video file won't attach to an email. We are a people who hope. We are a people who dream. We are a people who are stronger together, even from 6 feet apart or farther, even with masks on, even when we have to come up with new ways to make it happen. So keep believing. Keep wearing your mask. Keep hoping. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming soon.